I was hoping more of you would be at the pool. Aren't you tired? Need a nap? Don't mind. Look at us. My name is Amy Spangdunk, and I am an alcoholic. Hi, I just did a paw last week. Y'all know the pawpaws, the young people. I'm waiting for you to blow my hair back with, I love you bunches and bunches. My sobriety date is March the 6th of 2010. My home group that raised me was is called Lampton. Yeah. I now took a job. Lampton was a day meeting, and I had to... They like me at work, but to go to Lampton would be like a two-hour lunch, and they might think I'm drinking again. So there was a hybrid to Lampton during COVID on Zoom, and that's my home group. It's called Hope for Today. We meet on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays at 10:30 in the morning. I'm happy to send you an invite to that. I don't want to cry, so I'm not looking over here. But I have a sponsor. Who has a sponsor? Who has a sponsor? And that's very important to me. I sponsor women. I can look at them. Who sponsor women? Who sponsor women? And that is an experience you must not miss. So, 6 and 7. Lord. Right, Ann did it, and it was like, look at 6, pray for willingness, say a prayer, boom, you're done. No. I think Bill didn't want to scare us at that point. So he just wrote a little bit, and he's like, they'll figure it out, you know? Because in reality, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what separates the men from the boys, or the girls from the women. This is the entrance. We walk through an archway to freedom. 6 and 7 is like a secret door. How free do you want to be? It's a bonus room in the fourth dimension, right? How willing am I to work against self? How willing am I to give up gossip? Ooh. What if it's just a little bit, but it's not, you know, it's true. It's true gossip. I'm not lying. Can I do that? Can I talk about other women? Can I judge their sins? Can I hold on to judgmentalness? I'm real judgy. Because I know how to do things right. And you want perfection just like me. Can I hold on to that? What about envy and jealousy? Can I covet? I mean, isn't it okay? How free do you want to be? See, common sense becomes uncommon sense. I'm going to tell you a story. No one wanted to be around me when I got sober. My friend who got sober with me said if there was a word to describe me, it was unapproachable. You all are so friendly. And I meant to do that. I meant to do that. All my life, I had been putting out signals that said, beware, stay back, don't come over here. Right? Owner has a gun. The dog will bite. You know? Not afraid to go to jail. You know? Like, these were the signs that I carried into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, because they're the signs I've been carrying before I got here. One of the most precious and amazing women in my life is Miss Pearl, who's here. She read something on the way down that said character defects are really our character defenses. See, I've got my dukes up. My dukes are up. I'm not going to let you hurt me. I'm not going to let you lie to me. I'm not going to let you see me cry. I'm not going to hurt. And if I keep you away and I keep these defenses up, I won't hurt. Right? That's how we do. That's how we protect ourselves. How free do you want to be? How free do you want to be? So I want to tell you just a little bit about my experience with the 6 and 7, because really anything I tell you, don't thank me. There's two women here in the front row, my sponsor and my grand sponsor. Thank you for preparing her to help me. I love her. Like, I love these women. I love them. My sponsor said, people don't have to consider you. People don't have to include you. People don't have to make time for you. And you made time for me. I appreciate it. My sponsor works at a homeless shelter that has a women for women. And there's a detox. And I couldn't begin to guess the countless broken women those arms have held. Thank you for being at your post in Alcoholics Anonymous. And she gives the best hugs. So how did I get to 6 and 7? I just want to tell you that I was broken when I arrived, but this beautiful thing happened that Diane talked about. I had the gift of desperation. Suddenly, on March 6, 2010, I became willing to do whatever the people took and told me to do. Just sweet surrender. So I went into that women's detox where my sponsor worked, homeless and broken. I thought it was a thing. They were like, honey, where's your stuff? And I thought, stuff? What a peculiar question. Do people bring stuff? And I had this lighter that I'd let you use if you'd give me a cigarette. I'm a low bottom drunk. You don't have to go where I went. I'm just too dumb to let go. So I drove it till the wheels fell off, you know. So when I finally wash up in this detox, my daddy picked me up that morning off the street corner, and he said, Amy, I want you to go to the women's healing place. Please see if those women can help you, because you're going to die. Okay. So I went in, and I checked in, and I wrote myself a note. And it said, God. That's how I talked to God. And we were writing letters. We weren't really corresponding regularly, but I wrote, help me remember this is a good idea. The body heals and the liar returns. I carried that note because those women got on my nerves. And I have this insane thought. I don't know about you, but my alcoholic ego goes, you got this. You don't need to stay and complete something. You're great. You overreacted. And I started this process in Alcoholics Anonymous, and my first sponsor didn't like me very much. She didn't like anybody, but buddy, I could hear her. See, I'd come off the streets, and so it was tough, and it was loud, and it was dangerously antisocial. And this woman only had about a year, maybe she had 12 months, 14 months of sobriety, and she knew that book. And she had read that literature, and she had swallowed some big chunks of truth about herself. She was properly armed with the information in that book and willing to take me through the steps. But I would call her up and say, you know, some of the girls, their sponsors pick them up and take them to meetings. Do you ever do anything like that? She said, did I take you to the liquor store? And here's what she taught me, and it was so important, and I still hear her say this to me today. Your recovery is your responsibility. I don't like to blame other people when I fail. When I don't do right. You know, I want to blame somebody, not me. You know, but she taught me that my recovery was my responsibility, and she taught me to go foot to pavement in the steel. And we go hard and we go foot to pavement. And I did step one. Obviously, my life is unmanageable. I'm 39 years old. I live at a homeless shelter, and the only possession I have is a half-empty lighter that you got to shake to use. Something went wrong. Obviously, the manager should be fired. Whoever's running this, they should be fired. So unmanageable, powerless, I get it. I got it. I knew it as soon as I knew it before March 6, 2010. And like Diane said, I didn't know what to do about it. I know what to do about it. I knew that. I know I'm a no good mom. I knew that. And I know I'm not supposed to be living the way I'm living and doing the things I'm doing. I know that. I know I'm the shame and embarrassment. I'm the thing you don't talk about at my mom's house because it breaks her heart. I know that. I knew that. I know what to do about that. Step two, came to believe that power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Let me tell you about that. I lived in a homeless shelter with 200 women, but I knew that women who went through that program, they seemed to be doing better than I was. So that place became my higher power. I went to bed when they told me to go to bed. I stood in line to eat when they told me to stand in line. I did the chore they told me to do. I read the book they told me to write. I went to the meetings. I had the paper signed. They told me when to get up. They told me when to go to bed. They told me when to return. They told me how to behave. They told me that I had to make my bed. They told me how to be nice. To other women. So I was about 30 days sober, and we shared bunks. There was like four bunks in a cube, and I got up, and I'm 30 days sober, and the sweet, sweet little girl next to me, you know, she has no idea. She said something. So I said something. And then she said something else. So I said something else. And God bless her, she had one more thing to say. So I squared off, and I said, we can take this outside. And she said, hey. She said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know. I am 30 days away from everything that made it okay, that blotted out the intolerable consciousness of my existence. And in those 30 days, this thing raced, and it regretted, and the shame, and the guilt, and the remorse. And I didn't have two bottles of gin and oblivion. I was left with it. Consciousness about those kids and my mom and the failed marriages and the lost job and the men. I wanted to hit something, and she was right there. I didn't get sober like, oh, high five for recovery. I'm so grateful. God is so good. I was mad. I was mad. I couldn't stand me, so I couldn't stand you. And that didn't go away. Not for a long, long time. So Alcoholics Anonymous became my higher power. My dad died with 30 years sober in 2019. I knew this worked. And I thought, if I did, and you told me, you said, if you want what we have, do what we do. And I thought, simple formula. Write that down. And I started behaving as if I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we'll hear more about that later on. I don't go to AA. I am a member in good standing. Maybe not this afternoon, but right now. And we'll go over some of that, because I know what you can. You can't really get kicked out. In case anybody's wondering, because I ask questions. Like, what if you get in a fist fight in a meeting? And they're like, oh yeah, Mr. Lee over there, he did that about 27 years ago. And I'm like, Mr. Lee's still here. Note to self. I got to know where the bar is. Because I'm dangerously antisocial, and I smell a street and men and piss and cigarettes. And nothing's funny. I need to know where the bar is. Step three, my sponsor came to the healing place. We got on our knees. We said, step three, she stood up. She said, your life's not your business. And off she went. And I was like, okay, all right, good, good. We're moving right along. Step four, I wrote down my resentments, by this point I've been praying, I've been going to meetings, I hated me, so it was hard for me to be mad at you, because I'm like, really, it's all my fault. So I'd already kind of gotten there spiritually, so the resentment list had some things, but it wasn't, you know, too much. But my harms list, because of the shift, had 145 people. My sponsor looked at that, she folded it in half, she gave it back to me, and she said, you're not that important. There's no way you hurt 145 people. I had my cousin's daughter's, baby. They had a birthday party, and I didn't go. And she said, did they have the party? I said, yeah. She said, they're so glad you weren't there. You didn't hurt them. So we started narrowing that list down to something more manageable. But something happened on 4 and 5 when I looked at my part. The dishonesty, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the inconsideration, the way I had hurt my kids, my mom, my dad, people I never meant to hurt. I looked in their eyes, Diane, when they were born, and I saw God. Why would I hurt them? So this is what happened to me after 5. I was driven to my knees. Driven. Has anybody ever experienced something so painful or so great or so disturbing or so pull the breath from your body that you literally fall to your knees? Driven to my knees by those big chunks of truth about Amy that I saw in 4 and 5. So I had a spiritual experience during this time. Our original manuscript also says that we humbly on our knees, right? Driven to my knees. And I didn't know the original manuscript said that when I was driven to my knees. It's like that's where that's supposed to end, is on your knees. So these big chunks of truth about Amy were disturbing, and they were unacceptable, and I couldn't breathe. And I thought, why has God let me go unchecked? Why wasn't someone watching me? How irresponsible of them. I'm out here just willy-nilly breaking hearts and damaging lives. Somebody should have locked me up, you know? Unchecked. So I end up on my knees in the bathroom at this homeless shelter, and the pain of who I was and the reality of the harm. And here was the frightening part. I couldn't do anything about it. No matter the necessity or the wish to be a good mom, to be a good daughter, to be a good wife, to be a good friend, to be a good nurse, to be a good sister. No matter how desperately I wanted to do that, I couldn't. I fell short. I fell short. I fell short. So I was convinced that the only person that could put some decency into this very indecent human being was going to be my Creator. And I was willing. And I knew I needed Him. I knew I needed God in that moment more than I have ever felt. Just this need. Like, I can't breathe and I can't go on unless you help me. So I got on my knees and I started saying the seventh step prayer over and over and over again, just almost in a mantra, just a chant. And something happened, and I was not in that room by myself. And I felt darkness being removed from me, like through my God and out of me. Darkness. And I was, and I'm sobbing, and I'm sobbing, and my tears are staining the floor, and I can't get up, and I can't move. But I'm terrified that I stay, because, you know, you don't want to walk out on God. It looked like it was a big deal. Whatever was happening was kind of important, and I should just be still. So I just go, what's happening? When it was over, I was exhausted. And I heard a voice say, tell somebody what I did. So I got up and I went to the cafeteria and told Lauren Pepper, that was sitting there, something bizarre has just happened. And she said, it's like silkwork toe Bill. Doesn't matter what it was, hang on to it. So I was like, okay, that's what the book says. We're going to hang on to it. And I went about making 8 and 9, right? 6 and 7's over. I did it and that's it. I know I'm going to do 8 and 9 and I'm going to spot check on 10. I'm going to do the first half 11 for about 5 years. I'll get to that later. But I'm going to do a lot of 12-step work. But when I 12-step work, I'm aggressive. I'm a bully. I'm full of fear. I intimidate. So my 12-stepping looks more like 12-stomping. Do you want to live or you want to die? What is your choice to be? The book tells me, on to the next one. I was the sponsor that blew your hair back. God loved the brave women who let me take them through the steps. And I do love that there's about 3 of us that are, we're still sober. And we sponsor each other. Oh, God, it was, what a ride. So, 3 years sober, my sponsor at the time takes a drink. And she calls me up. She says, I can't, you know, sponsor you anymore. And I had been, I knew Delinda, and I've been talking to Linda, and Delinda had experienced some grief that I found unimaginable and unthinkable. And 6 and 7, character defect shortcomings, I'm still packing them around. I'm still carrying those around because I did the thing, and then God did the thing, and then I went on with the rest of my steps, right? That's this big. You say the prayer, you're done with step 7. Right? So I'm 3 and a half years sober. I'm still 12-stomping women because I haven't really let go of any of the character defects or shortcomings that I've been packing around. And I'm watching Miss Linda go through this thing that is insane. And I'm waiting for her to tell me, give me the nod. Because I'm going to go kill people. You got to understand, that made sense to me. That's the world I came from. That's where I had been living for quite some time. So I carry justified anger, right? They had it coming. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and she ain't saying nothing like that. We go to the funeral and she ain't saying nothing like that. And I said, Mr. Linda, if finally I'm just going to offer, right? Maybe she does. Maybe she's too embarrassed to ask. Let me just offer. You know, I said, Mr. Linda, you know, I ain't about that life no more, but I can make some phone calls. And, and she said, baby, we don't do that. I said, what? But look what they did. Look what they did. Look what they did. She said, mm-hmm. We don't do that. And I thought, I need what this woman has. I need what this woman has. Grace, faith, love. Forgiveness, kindness, a heart so big it would fill this room. And she's cute. And she's funny. And I didn't know it at the time, but Miss Linda had been on her knees asking God to give her strength to get up and carry on through the day, you know, because she has experienced great loss. And she had just been on her knees praying, and I called her. I said, will you be my sponsor? That's how God works. And she said, well, Amy, I'm a mess. And I said, I know. But you're doing it sober, and I need to know how to do all the messy things sober. And then a few minutes later, one of my other sponsee sisters called, so will you sponsor me? And she like, I'm going to quit answering my phone. All you crazy women keep calling. All I wanted was a little help from God, and he just keeps sending all these women for me to sponsor. And that's been the journey. So she had her hands full. And so one of the first things Miss Linda said is, honey, why are you yelling at everyone? So they can hear the message. She said, oh, baby. She said, the truth just stands there. All by itself. It just stands there. It's the truth. It's quiet, it's strong, and it's unchanging. You don't have to scream it. I was like, okay. No more screaming. No more screaming. And then she asked me why I was so busy. Why are you so busy? I can't rest on my laurels. Faith without works is dead. I got to sponsor 19 women, be in 3 home groups, be the secretary of the IGR, and I put up the chairs on Tuesday. I take a meeting into detox into the prison and, you know, queen of AA, little princess of AA. And and she says, oh, sweetie, grace is not earned. Grace is given. See, God loves me, and it's not performance-based. He loved me when I was smoking crack and prostituting. And he loves me this weekend in Atlanta. God's love for me, his grace and his mercy in my life is not performance based. Grace is given. But I was out here thinking, if I move one more chair, if I sponsor one more woman, if I go to one more meeting, if I read one more chapter, if I do one more thing, then maybe. Just maybe. I'll be worthy of this gift. My children's forgiveness. My mother's love. Your kindness. It was then that my 6 and 7 character defect shortcomings. Right? A new way of thinking. I still do all those things. I'm built for it. But it's not fear-based. I'm not trying to outrun something. I'm not trying to earn something. It's what is my jam. I get old and tired one day and I'll quit. But for right now, while I can, I love to do it. But I learned that a life without rest will manifest insanity in various forms. For example, I got this boy, and I love this boy. I have three daughters. I love them all. But I got this boy, you know, this boy. He's his mama's boy, and he's my baby, and he ain't right. And he going to live with me forever. And when he was eight, and they were like, Amy, you're spoiling that boy. He's going to never move out. And I'd say, that's okay. But now he's 26, and I'm like, for real, though, really? You feel like you should be out on your own? Anyway, he was about 15, 16 years old, and he liked a little girl down the street, so he's chasing, you know, that down the street. And I know what's going on in that house, because I used to hang out in houses just like that. And I said, I don't want you down there where that little girl is. Now, if you want to see her, she can come out. Y'all can sit in the living room. You can go to the park. I don't want you down there where that little girl is. And he kept going out my back door and in her back door. And I said, okay, we're getting tired of this. And I keep telling him not to do it, but he keeps doing it. I keep telling him not to do it, and he keeps doing it. So I go down to the neighbor's house. I kick their door in, and I don't mean figuratively, I wish I did. I literally, boom, like the police. Their dog ran out, I put my foot on the dog's neck. The dog's whining, I said, I'll kill everybody in this house. And I meant it. I meant it. I meant it. The wrath, the rage, the justified anger, that false sense of power and control when I'm frightened and scared and unsure. See, I don't know how to be frightened and scared and unsure and say I'm worried and I don't want my baby down there. I don't know how to do that. Character defects and shortcomings, character defenses. Intimidation, bullying, aggressiveness, hostility, rage. I come back home and I like to call Miss Linda after events like that. But hear me out. Like, she's really kind of close-minded about certain things. And a lot of times she'll say, honey, I don't think that's a good idea. So I didn't feel like we should confer first. So I called her afterwards, and she said, you're going to jail. The people get ready. That's called terroristic threatening. Like, there's a law. So they ain't calling the police. My poor husband, he was outside mowing the grass when I got done. He watched me walk inside. He knew where I'd been. He walked down the street. He said, I see you've met my wife. He said, the thing is, I don't know what she will do. So the next thing Miss Belinda said to me was, I'm sorry, tell me again what you did. Well, Zach's been going down that house, and I know what's been going on in that house. And I told Zach not to go to that house, but he keeps going to the house. So I went down there, and I told them, my boy better not be in their house. And if my boy in their house, they better make my boy leave, because I'm going to come back and I'm going to kill everybody. Y'all hug my sponsor, okay? And she said, honey, did they kidnap your son? Well, no, I mean, it wasn't like a kidnapping. He was down there on his own, you know, free will. She said, character defects and shortcomings, powerlessness. Lack of faith, running on fear, intimidating, bullying, harming, gossiping. I sponsor a lot of women gossiping. I hate, I am not a woman who says gossiping runs other women out and kills them. Women leave. Women leave. They gossip about me at the crack house. I never left. They talk about me crazy. They take from me when I wasn't looking. I never left. You can't run me out of somewhere I want to be. You ain't going to run me out. Not from where I need to be. And see, an Alcoholics Anonymous has what I need to live. And you ain't going to run me out. Talk about it. Be about it. Okay. Okay. And... still going to my home group. They can't run me out. But it does break my heart. It breaks my heart. Learning to love and to be loved in Alcoholics Anonymous. Learning to receive the love that was always there, but I couldn't receive it. Right? They started on that character defect, that shortcoming, that early. First of all, it tells us in our book that it's murder by character assassination, and we should avoid it. Right? Not that I'm uncomfortable with murder. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. Don't anybody freak out. It's all good. I'm a very kind person today. Ask Ann. Where's Ann? I'm nice, Ann, aren't I? So yeah. I always get tickled when people do that. Amy's so nice, and I just laugh and laugh. I'm like, look at God. Look at God. But Miss Pearl reminds me that it's not about becoming something new. Maybe Amy was nice, always. Maybe I was kind. Maybe the God in me does want to love you and commune with you and be with you and celebrate with you. Maybe it's not about becoming something I'm not. Miss Pearl says it's about unbecoming all the things I was never meant to be. So apparently God didn't breathe breath in my body so I could be a gangster. And a fallen woman. I love that. Yay for tradition 3. The fallen women. You all, you don't have those in Georgia, right? Kentucky's full of them. Where's my people? Right? So working with women and with them, how willing am I to give up gossip and judgment of other women? How willing am I to love you as my Creator loves me, which is not performance-based? How willing am I to love women when I don't like what they're doing? Principles before personalities. Listen, I run a women's meeting, and it gets mad. I mean, sometimes those women, ooh, hunty. I'm like, what? What's happening? But that, they don't bring it to me because they know I have zero tolerance for that. And if someone brings to me something like, did you hear what Delinda did? I say, no. And then I call Delinda, and I say, Delinda, do you need to talk to me? Is something going on? I love you, Delinda. Right? Because I don't want to engage in this. I go to the woman, but in the book it tells us that, and at the healing place they taught us that women's shelter, because 200 women, you're going to have to put down some rules about getting along, especially the first year of sobriety. But they would say, if you walk up on a conversation, and they are talking about a woman that is not present in that conversation, simply say, "Ooh, I forgot something." And walk away from that conversation. If somebody walks up to you to share with you out of pure love and consideration for someone else, I'm so worried about Barbara. She wasn't at home group, but I saw her in the car with Steve. Steve's been dating Angie. So I don't care about Barbara, Steve, or Angie. I'm trying not to drink today. Get out of my way. Are we mindful? Are we providing safe spaces? I've had women call me and say, I'm not coming to step study. I say, why? So-and-so-and-so-and-so are mad at me. That's an outside issue. We're going to read the preamble and none of that's going to matter. You better be a step study. Yeah. See, pride and ego will keep us away from the thing that we desperately need to live. I love being a mom. That's my favorite thing. Next to being a grandma. Oh my God. They own me. I got this big headed grandbaby. His head's so big, we had to get him a special hat for baseball. But Delinda says I shouldn't call him that, but they did. He had to get a special hat. Big-headed baby. But I love them, and they love Grandma Amy, and they know Grandma Amy goes to those meetings. And Grandma Amy doesn't drink. And Grandma Amy has a lot of friends, and they don't think that Grandma Amy's mean. And I found out my children kept things from me because they feared what I would do. Because I'm the mom. I'm going to kick in the door and go to the fourth grade teacher like, what are you doing to my baby? Ma'am, your child's a heathen. But that's me. I will embarrass you. Miss Delinda taught me that when my kids come to tell me something, sometimes my job is to listen. That's all that's required. They aren't asking me to kick in a door, threaten somebody, make it right, defend their honor. I just need to listen. I get to listen. I was taught by Sober Women and Alcoholics Anonymous how to parent from a place of love. Because if I parent from fear, I'm ineffective. How am I going to be rid of that fear? How am I going to act opposite of? So if you've ever done 6 and 7, some people say, write down what you do, now do the opposite. Whatever you would do, don't do that. Do the opposite of that, right? That's 6 and 7. I get that choice every morning in every situation and in every encounter. And if you're, I'm up here with like 12 years of sobriety and I started at 39. You know, I'm a slow learner. And this little girl in me keeps screaming, are you sure it's safe? Are you sure it's safe to put my dukes down? Are you sure we'll be okay if they're not afraid of us? Every day I get to decide. Are you sure we'll be okay if we don't tear other women down? Are you sure we'll be okay if we love unconditionally? Are you sure we'll be okay if you have this blind faith that everything is going to be okay? What? Everything's going to be okay? And I don't have to do anything to make it okay? Hey, 6 and 7 is continuous. It's every day. It's in every encounter. How am I going to show up? You know, we says back home, we say, are you walking the talk? You know, it's not a talk show. This is a walking out show. Are you walking it? Are you walking it? When the nurses call in at work, how am I going to show up? How am I going to show up? When my kid doesn't do what I ask my kid to do, How am I going to show up? Me? When my husband is breathing, he does this thing at night, right next to me. How am I going to show up? I get to do this all day, every day. I get to be kinder. I get to be more vulnerable. I get to be more honest. 6 and 7, I want, if you're new, right? So I thought me and God would grab one of my harder character defects. I would wrestle it, get it in a headlock, and then God would zap it away. God always needs my help, Beth. I mean, he's busy. I'm just trying to help out. It says, every single one which stands in the way of my usefulness. I don't know which ones those are. I don't know which ones those are. Right? And they're going to fall away over time. They're going to fall away a little bit at a time. Even in a spiritual experience, I didn't wake up like with all the darkness removed from my shining soul. I was like, I came out of there cussing, God damn, Miss Lauren, you're not going to believe what just happened. Yeah. Still wanted to beat people up. But something had happened, right? But they start to fall away, and they start to fall away through the process of the other steps. So I mentioned that for many years I did the first half of 11. I am a great prayer. I pray the prayers in the book. I memorize the prayers in the book. Miss Delinda used to have us. She did a class where you would write, if you had a thesaurus. The thesaurus would tell you similar words, words that mean the same thing. Synonyms. Say, hello. Are you proud? I remember the synonym. And so we would write the prayer, and then we would write synonyms for the words so that it could be your prayer. So you knew what you were praying, because some people vows and those and that, and I don't know what. And what does, your way, what is the way? What does that mean? You know, and she's very analytical, and she would have us pray just so we could digest. That I knew the prayers, and I knew what they meant, and I knew what they said, and I was good at them, and I could pray them with you. But I was really too busy for meditation. I have the ADHD. I can't. I tried, but I can't. Can't meditate. I tried it, and I can't do it. My brain just won't stop. It's unfortunate. Other people could do it. I can't do it. Maybe you could do it and tell me what you learned. And that's what I did for 5 years until I kicked in my neighbor's door. And that's when Miss Delinda said, are you ready to work all the steps? And I was, why would you say that to me? I sponsor so many women. Like, I have memorized the first 164 pages. I go to all the meetings, and I said up front, what do you mean, all the steps? She said, the second half of 11, everything changed. See, along with not meditating, I wasn't doing the 11th step prayer. So if I'm asking God to make me a channel, meaning his love, his mercy, his faith is going to channel through me, through my eyes, when I work with you. There's not a lot of room in that for bullying, intimidation, lying, gossiping, greed, envy, sloth, the 7 deadlies that Bill talks about. See, when God's light and love, it bursts out like a brick wall, right? So if I'm willing in seven, and I mean really willing, how willing are you? How free do you want to be? Are you going to give up the ones that feel good? Make you feel superior? Make you feel safe? Justify your own behaviors, even though you know you're wrong? Are you willing to give all those away? Right? Those are the hard ones. Six and seven doesn't stop. And I know women, and we all know women and men who have years of sobriety, multiple years of sobriety, and I don't want what they have. They look miserable. I don't want to be miserable. I insist on having a good time. Right? They seem angry, bitter, resentful. Everything's wrong. You know, dang Debbie Downer. Jesus. Make a change. I don't want that. See, I got lucky early on, and I met women like Miss Delinda and Miss Jamelia, Miss Shalita, and Miss Pearl. And I got lucky that I got in a home group where we are happy, joyous, and free. I'm talking about, if you ever get to, Lambton is an experience you must not miss. Please come see us at Lambton. We talk about God. Yeah. We talk about hallelujah, amen, I'm sober today. Look what he's done. Yeah. And it is the most eclectic group of people. There is a guy there with one day sober that's living under the bridge. And then I have my beautiful Miss Pearl, 41 years of sobriety. And every member of Alcoholics Anonymous, new and old, is greeted the same way at the door. Woo-wee, glad you're here. Come here, let me give you a hug. What a good day it is. Welcome. Have a seat. We're so glad you're here. And we carry that energy. See, I was introduced to people that knew the secret room in the fourth dimension through six and seven. Right? They got me there. Man, then I get to come out on the road and A wretch like me. Mary and Leslie, Beth, man, all these women, Diane, Angie, all these women up here, see, it's our stories that connect us. We're just really good storytellers. Comes from years of conning and manipulating. But it's no different than your story. Your desire to be a mom, your willingness in six and seven, your amends process, your sponsor, your home group, the women you sponsor. Every day we get a choice. When I drank, I like to drink a lot. And as much as I could, as fast as I could, as often as I could. Cocaine, don't get me started. I love things that feel good. I found that this is it. Recovery, sobriety, relationship with a higher power, friends, unconditional love, food. I wasn't eating before. I love it. I'm here for it. I'm on fire for Alcoholics Anonymous. You have opened a secret door. Oh, I tell you one of the other hidden places. The door, it's hard to find and people often pass it up. It's marked inconvenient. There are so many treasures behind that door. It's like you open it up and you're like, holy crap. Holy crap. Who knew it was behind the door marked inconvenient? When the sponsor, terrible. That's where the treasures are. staying up late. I love Zoom, but now, you know, like people in other time zones want you to talk. And I'm like, you want me to log in when? So inconvenient. Or when the new lady asks you to sponsor, and she lives, you know, the other side of town. And then you ask us, can you meet me at a meeting? I don't have a car.
I'll be there at 6.
It's where the treasures are. It is through service to others that I find myself. The whole book says, right? The whole point is to prepare ourselves for maximum service to God and to His people. I'm so grateful today that you found use for a wretch like me. I appreciate you.